You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome into a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Balls. It's your team every day. Eric Kane here, radio in Knoxville, writer for VolQuest.com, covering Tennessee football and recruiting, and your host of Locked On Vols, available each and every weekday morning when you get up. We have a loaded show here to get into today. In segment one, I'm going to give you just a couple of notes, just brief little synopsis of some of my thoughts after going back and watching the rewatch of the Orange and White game from Saturday, and then we're going to get straight into Twitter Tuesday. Guys, we have overflow. We are going to spend Twitter Tuesday answering questions and thoughts from you guys in segments 1, 2, and 3. So really appreciate you guys for always getting your questions in. This has turned into a really popular segment on this podcast. I feel like you guys enjoy it. I enjoy it. And so without further ado, we'll get into it. This is a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. But again, first, a couple of notes from my rewatch of the Orange and White game. All right, so I want to say right out of the gates, I didn't get a chance to rewatch this scrimmage on Sunday because the SEC Network Plus sucks. I don't understand why some outlets make it so tough to consume your product by saying, okay, what's your, you know, what is your streaming preference? Okay, what is your cable provider? What is, you know, but I have ESPN Plus, so this shouldn't be an issue, whatever the case may be. Finally, some great people alerted me that the Orange and White game was on YouTube, so I went back and watched it this morning. And so I want to go back and correct a note from what I said on Harrison Bailey on Monday's podcast. I said that two of his long passes, the touchdown pass to Velus Jones Jr. and one of his long passes to Jack Jancic down the near sideline, were busted coverages. The touchdown to Velus Jones Jr. was a busted coverage. The touchdown to Jack Jancic down the near sideline, it was on a free play. And so the defender continued to play. He played it well, but Jancic made a play. It was a nice throw by Bailey. It was a free play, and so that's what it was. So I do apologize for making that mistake. Brian Maurer completed a long pass later in the game. That was a busted coverage, so maybe that's what I was thinking of. And again, I couldn't go back and rewatch it on Sunday because the SEC Network Plus sucked this weekend. So it is what it is. But wanted to make that correction right out of the gate. But went back and watched the rewatch, went back and watched the game, and a couple of my notes, little things, you know, little things make the difference in a team and a culture and all that good stuff. Some of the little things I picked up on, opening drive right out of the gate, the wide receivers are blocking downfield. That's big. Linemen block for first downs, receivers block for touchdowns. That's the old saying, and the receivers are blocking in this offense. That's good. Skilled players hustling back to the line of scrimmage. Obviously, you've got to do that in a tempo offense, but it's good to see that that's already being instilled in these guys because I know change is not easy, and it's not like you're lollygagging around in between plays, but if you're running an up-tempo offense, you have got to sprint back to the line of scrimmage, and I saw wide receivers, I saw running backs, everybody involved doing that, so that was good to see. Quarterbacks are playing it out on offsides. I mentioned the Harrison Bailey play just a moment ago. That is a free play. When someone jumps offsides into the neutral zone while it's, you know, slightly before the ball is being snapped, you are taught as a defender to play it out because the offense, that's essentially a free play. On two of those plays, long completions of Jancic, I mentioned that earlier, one for six, that was by Harrison Bailey, another really great throw by Brian Maurer on a free play. So credit the quarterbacks for playing it out, credit the defenders for the most part for playing it out as well. That is a free play, and I have gotten burned on that being a defender in the past whenever you think that, oh, it's a penalty, let's just stop. No, you got to play. So I noticed that as well. And another note here, Morvin Joseph, been talking about him, linebacker all spring. He played a whole lot at edge on Saturday. I found that interesting. And not that interesting. He still played linebacker, but he played a lot of edge, outside linebacker, defensive end type deal. That is where his home base is. That's where he's most comfortable. And I do anticipate Morvin Joseph playing a little bit of that this year once the numbers start to strengthen up a little bit back at linebacker. So a couple of notes, not many, nothing groundbreaking, but I wanted to share those with you guys on my rewatch. Okay, let's get into Twitter Tuesday here on Locked On Vols. And again, guys, we had so many submissions this week. Can't thank you enough. We will start with Tyler Hood. Question for Twitter Tuesday, with the NCAA sanctions coming, how do you balance the self-imposed loss of scholarships and postseason bans? If you don't impose enough, the NCAA will add more. If you do too much, they won't add any. Do you self-impose at all, or do you just wait for the NCAA to give a ruling? Also mentions probably should just wait and not give a, or just wait and not do anything, because that's what LSU did, and it seems to be working out just fine for LSU. Tyler, good question, man. The way I look at this, I honestly wouldn't self-impose anything. Why? Well, you have already gone above and beyond with the NCAA, working with the NCAA, and firing your head football coach, starting over. To me, that is the ultimate, I don't want to say sacrifice, but that is the ultimate self-imposed sanction. You started an investigation, you dug 20 miles deep beneath the surface, you found everything you needed to find, you fired your coach, you started over, okay? You are paying thousands of dollars to a search firm to help you, or to lawyers to help you with this, for a search firm for finding an athletic director, finding a head coach. Tennessee's done a lot with this. That doesn't mean that the NCAA is going to say, okay, well, great, you did all this, we're going to go easy on you. For me, your numbers are so bad right now at certain positions, you can't afford to say, all right, so we have five spots left right now, we're going to fill two of them, we're going to not fill three and say, hope the NCAA shows grace on us. To me, you can't afford to do that. You go out and get players right now. That's my thoughts. We'll have to see. I wouldn't self-impose anything from now because, again, you have been bending over backwards to help the NCAA, and you fired your head football coach. And so from there, you got to hope the NCAA says, okay, you've been very forthcoming. Here's what we got. Here's what we would have done if you weren't so forthcoming, but here's what we got. This is what we're going to do. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly what comes from that. All right, we're going to go to Garrett Compliment, if I can find... here we go. Garrett Compliment. All right, Twitter Tuesday. What is one real takeaway from each side of the ball and one fake takeaway or misconception from each side of the ball after the spring game? All right, Garrett, so what I have, these are the real takeaways for me. The offense, fast tempo. Can't deny it. It was fast. I think it took me a while to get used to it on Saturday. Still not quite used to it. I think it'll take the fan base a little while to get used to it as well, but that is my takeaway from offense. What a tempo. On defense, my takeaway, the strength will be in the secondary. Defense wasn't great on Saturday, but you saw some routine starters and some guys who have been big-time contributors back there in the secondary. Alante Taylor gave up a touchdown on the final play of the scrimmage, but I thought he came up and smacked. He and Trayvon Flowers came up and were hitting a little bit. I like what Christian Charles is doing. I like what Tamari McDonald's doing. I think the strength will be in the secondary. Fake takeaways. On offense, the quarterback has been decided. Harrison Bailey had a fine showing, but the quarterback position has not been decided. Nothing about what we saw on Saturday changed my viewing in terms of, is there a guy ready to roll out there week one? I think that is still far, far, far and away, ready to roll later on. And, you know, as the game broadcast said, I think it was Mike Gullett Jr. saying, hey, this is really just for the fans. I mean, the real work in spring has been already put in those 14 practices. So my fake takeaway or misconception from this is the quarterback position is decided with Harrison Bailey because he had the best day. And also on defense, I would say everybody watching that game saying, hey, the defense is going to be awful. I don't think it's going to be good, but I think it will be better than what we saw on Saturday. We talked about that on a Monday podcast. So those would be two real takeaways, two fake takeaways or misconceptions from what I saw on Saturday. Garrett, I appreciate you chiming in here on Twitter Tuesday. We will go one more here in segment one before we get into more in segments two and three. Daniel Ritchie says, Twitter Tuesday, can you do a quick run through of the UT Athletics program and where they are in their respective fields? I thought I saw a women's tennis just won the SEC. It gave me the thought. Doesn't seem to be super in-depth. Just curious from an eagle eye view perspective of the program. Yeah, this is going to be super, super quick and super sweet. Football starting over. Baseball, whoo, on the rise. Tony Vitello, you got to pay him. You got to make some upgrades to the facilities to keep him. Rick Barnes, it was disappointing in 2020, 2021. I get that, but the way he's recruiting basketball, just fine. Lady Vols, I think, continuing to climb under Kelly Harper. Good recruiting as well. Decent showing this past year, though it was a second-round exit in the tournament. You finished, what, third in the SEC. Lady Vol basketball team continuing to get better and better. Softball with the weeklies, you're a nationally ranked team. You always typically are. You're playing in the top half of the SEC that's loaded. Softball, just fine. After that, guys, I can't even pretend to know an awful lot about a lot of the non-revenue sports, and I do apologize. I do know that the men's tennis team did just win the SEC tournament, so congratulations to them. The track and field team is typically pretty stellar in its own right, typically every single year, and so I think they're in good position there. But outside of that, guys, I do apologize. I'm not really educated enough to answer that question, because typically I'm just a football guy and, you know, some basketball as well. So I do appreciate you chiming in there, Daniel, and I hope I answered a little bit of what you had or what you had to ask for. All right, Locked On Vols Twitter Tuesday coming up, more in segments 2 and 3 here on a Tuesday show. We'll get into it, but remember, guys, my friends at rockauto.com, family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com and shop for all your auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpets. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate through. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and you can choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Of course, best of all, the prices at rockauto.com, always reliably low, and the same for the professionals or the do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com today, right now, and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. And while you're there, right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. We got more Twitter Tuesday coming up here in segment number 2, but first, get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on all the latest news in every major sport with the help from our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So we're moving through these questions. Again, great job, guys, in getting these questions in at underscore Kaner at Locked On Vols throughout the week. Really do appreciate that. We have Vol in SC. Vol in SC chimes in. This is more of just some thoughts, and that's completely fine. Doesn't have to be just a question. For Twitter Tuesday, my quarterback thoughts. I think if the season was starting tomorrow, we would be playing multiple quarterbacks. I think we have a solid QB2 and HB, Harrison Bailey. But I think QB1 will come out of nowhere, either through the portal or somewhere else. Harrison Bailey showed most poise, but I think coaches are looking for even more than what we saw in Hooker, Bailey, Maurer, and what they're showing. Just one man's opinion. Maybe Milton is that guy, or someone else in the portal is even that guy, like Salter. I think if Harrison Bailey is the guy, it's because they missed on some others. Well, yeah, I don't think that the quarterback position is decided right now whatsoever. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but there's some sirens that just drove by my window outside while I'm recording this podcast. Apologize for that. I don't think the quarterback position is decided whatsoever right now. I think Harrison Bailey had a fine day. I think Brian Maurer was solid. I think Hendon Hooker struggled to throw the ball down the field, or really just didn't try, is what I'm trying to say. He didn't challenge the field vertically an awful lot. He held on to the football some. Of course, he had the pick six, which is not great. I understand that, but over the course of spring practice, Hendon Hooker's been the most consistent from everything I've seen, everything I've heard. Everybody's allowed to have a bad day, and thankfully this was a scrimmage, and he wasn't at his best in the scrimmage. He'd rather him play like that on Saturday than against Bowling Green Week 1 or an SEC foe. We're going to have to see. We're a long ways away. We are a long ways away. I think Joe Milton will have a lot to say about this quarterback competition. He'll be behind the eight ball, no doubt about it, but he's not coming to Tennessee unless he is given an opportunity to earn that spot. And I think that's has been assured to him that it's not going to be his job, but it's going to be his job to go and earn, and he'll have every opportunity to. And I do think from a skill perspective, from a legs perspective, from an arm perspective, from an athleticism perspective, everything you want in a quarterback, Joe Milton has the highest intangibles, even more than Brian Maurer. I've been high on Brian Maurer's potential, but it's about what's in between, the intermediate passing game, the decision-making, all that stuff. And so all these quarterbacks have something to prove. All of these quarterbacks have played, except for Salter, have played and had chances. It's about proving it, that you're worth it, and holding on to that spot. And so it'll be interesting. Certainly it'll be interesting to see exactly who wins this job come fall camp. But it's going to be wide open. It's going to be wide open in my opinion. We're going to go now to Brandon Head. And Brandon Head wants to talk about Josh Heupel, if I can find his question here. So, Brandon Head, am I the only one who thinks Heupel appears to have gravitas as the UT head coach? I realize he has yet to coach a regular season game, but he seems like a captain with both hands on the wheel. Yeah, man, I mean, he hasn't coached a game, and obviously we're not going to know anything about Josh Heupel in the grand scheme of things until he coaches a game, coaches a couple of games, and has a couple seasons under his belt. But I've been impressed with Josh Heupel so far, the way he interacts with the media, the way he allows access to his program, the family-first mentality, what I've heard from prospects, the way he deals with VFL films. It's hard not to like what you've seen from Josh Heupel so far, and certainly the way the offense looked in the orange and white game. Everything looks good right now. I mean, it really does, but as we know, fans are short for fanatics, okay? That first Saturday when you lose a game you're not supposed to, or that first Saturday when you don't show up against a rival, a lot of people are not going to be so you know, kumbaya with Josh Heupel. So we'll have to see. But so far, so good. I mean, I really do believe that everything I've seen so far, I like. I mean, I think he's doing a good job so far for sure. We move on to Shane Smith. He is at Crush Hive on Twitter, and he wants to talk about Henry T and Quaveris Crouch. So, what's taking Henry T and Q Crouch so long to decide on where they're going to play football this season? And is there even a 1% chance one or both of them come back to play for the Vols? I'm never going to say there's no chance, so I'll say there's above a 1% chance. Everything I'm hearing, I don't think it's a realistic chance for either one of those guys to come back and be a part of this team. But I will say, Josh Heupel's not going to turn them away. He's said it before in the past that the door is open if you want to come back and be a part of this program. Especially at that position, you really can't afford to be picky whatsoever. So if Henry T or Quaveris Crouch called Josh Heupel tomorrow, today, whatever, and said, hey, I want to come back, I think that that would be a very, very good possibility. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. Everything I've heard, I do not believe that they're going to be coming back to this program. They are taking a while. I do believe a lot of these players still in the portal right now was waiting for the one-time transfer rule to pass. That has passed. And also for spring practice, kind of this section of the offseason to be done. And it'll be kind of easier to see where you're going to go from there. So I expect a lot of movement. I expect a whole lot of movement here in the next couple weeks in terms of guys in the transfer portal deciding where they want to go. So more than 1% chance for Henry T and Quaveris Crouch coming back to Tennessee. More than 1%. But I'm not confident in saying that it's much higher than that, to be completely honest. Things do change. We'll have to see. We will move on to Chris Metcalf. Chris Metcalf, he is wanting to talk about the quarterbacks, as are a lot of people wanting to talk about the quarterbacks. And if I can find Chris's DM, there it is. Kind of disappointed in Hooker. Honestly expected him to not be a check down artist, but who knows if he really is going to be like that this upcoming year. It's still spring. I feel like the more comfortable he gets, the more he will open up. I agree with that too, and that's the case for every quarterback and really every player on this team. Brian Maurer just has that swag about him, and when he's on the field, that no one else does. His energy level is above everyone else's. I concur. Harrison Bailey's the type of quarterback that if you tell him to throw it there, it's going to be on the money if you give him time. Now, say it's 3rd and 6 against Georgia, and Bailey's in, and they send a blitzer off the edge. Is he going to be able to make the throw and the read and get the ball there under 2 seconds? I don't know. He struggled with that last year. Yeah, he did. Chris, that's some really good observations. I agree on all counts. There's a difference when a guy's in your face, when they are disguising coverages, when they are delay blitzing, all that type of stuff, compared to what we saw on Saturday. And again, I'm really not trying to take anything away from Harrison Bailey because he had a good showing. Easily the most impressive quarterback that we saw on Saturday, without a doubt. But the defense is playing lax. The defense is playing vanilla. That will not be the case when you're in SEC play against Florida, Georgia, Alabama. It just won't be. Can Harrison Bailey still step up in the pocket, avoid pressure, keep his eyes downfield, and make the throws? Can he keep his eyes on the end man on the line of scrimmage, make the right read in the RPOs? Can you operate that high-octane tempo offense against stouter competition? I don't know. We'll have to see. But I do believe the more these quarterbacks rep in the system, the more these quarterbacks learn under Josh Heupel, Joey Halsey, the more comfortable they will be. But again, like I said a minute ago, every quarterback has something to prove. Every quarterback has had their job taken away from them for one reason or another, injuries or for play. And all these quarterbacks, just, you know, you can make a case for any one of these quarterbacks except for Salter, in my opinion, right now. It's about who adapts to the coaching the best and who is the most consistent. And if anybody is, if history is any indicator here at Tennessee, I do believe, like Chris, that there might be multiple quarterbacks being played so far this season. So we will have to see. All right, guys, we have three more questions to get into on the other side. We'll get to Tristan, Scotty, and Caleb in segment number three of a Locked On Vols. But first, let me tell you about Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action, baseball season in full swing. No pun intended. And you can track all the action at Bet Online. This week has tons of actions to go on. The NFL draft that's coming up. The Kentucky Derby's back on the first leg of the Triple Crown. It begins this weekend. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news and sign up for bonuses and contests information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their runs in the playoffs. Head on over to the website or on your mobile device, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off and a welcome bonus in your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We got a final segment left here on a Twitter Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols, but before we get back into it, listen up. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network, it's partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get inside and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch this live three-day coverage of the NFL Draft April 29th through May the 1st. And, of course, we're going to be talking Trey Smith, Bryce Thompson, Josh Palmer, Brandon Kennedy, as we continue on throughout this week, as those guys hope to hear their name called. Two of those guys, without a doubt, will be drafted. We'll have to see about the latter two. So all that coming up here this week on Locked On Vols. Be sure to check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. All right, so Twitter Tuesday, got three more left to get into. Eric Kane here on a Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys for your submissions here every single week for Twitter Tuesday. We head back to the @_Kaner DM account, and we check in with Caleb Shadwick. Caleb, he chimes in. By the way, Caleb said he started a Twitter account to interact with the podcast, so that is some great stuff there. Appreciate him and love the interaction with him and all you guys. Twitter Tuesday question, does your quarterback rankings change after Saturday? Good question. For me, because of what I've heard, because of the little bit that I've seen throughout the entire spring, I'm not going to, you know, right now at least, I'm not going to completely fault Hendon Hooker for having an off day right now. So if I were to handicap this, if we're talking about, you know, BetOnline AG, you know, right now my rankings would be, and Joe Milton's going to have a lot to say about this. I'll throw Joe Milton in this too. I can't say Joe Milton's the favorite right now because he's not on campus. This is a new offense with him. I just can't say that right now. But he very well could come in and take it from day one. He could come in and beat the starting quarterback week three on. I don't know. We'll have to see. If I were handicapping this right now, I would say Hendon Hooker minus 110. I would say Harrison Bailey plus 100. So it's very, very close. Plus 110. Very, very close. I would say Joe Milton's probably plus 200. I would say Brian Maurer is probably plus 350. And then I would say Caden Salter is down there. Did I leave anybody out? I got Hooker, Bailey, Maurer, Milton, Salter. Yeah, that's all of them. Now, all that can change. Nothing really changed, in my opinion, from Saturday. Again, I mean, film don't lie. You can't say it didn't matter at all. But there's so much more that went on this spring than what we were privy to and what we saw just from Saturday in a very vanilla game. So, and that being said, Harrison Bailey stood out. I mean, that should be rewarded. I mean, you should document that, and you should know that, and Obviously, we're going to talk about that from here on until the start of the season. Harrison Paley had a good day, and that was good to see. So for me, they haven't changed right now, but that is very, very subject to change when you get into fall camp, because there will be more and more and more practices, way more than 15, and a couple more scrimmages as well to see who that starting quarterback will be. So appreciate it, Caleb. Thanks for getting in here on a Twitter Tuesday. We move on now to Tristan Slagle. Tristan Slagle, what names have been floating around as to who will enter the transfer portal now that spring is wrapped up? Boy, that's a good question. Talking about the different stages of the offseason, how there's a lot of movement, even before the one-time transfer rule was passed, the last couple years, after spring, players enter the portal. First of summer, players enter the portal. Of course, at the end of the season, players enter the portal. Those are kind of the check marks in terms of when you enter the portal and when you start discussing when you want to leave. The names I'm about to mention right now is just some talk, just some scuttlebutt, okay? This is nothing reportable. I'm not reporting this. Don't hear me wrong. Just some names that I might have heard little here and there from. This doesn't mean that these guys are going to hit the transfer portal, but these are some names that come up when you think about potential candidates on Tennessee's current roster that will hit the transfer portal. Okay, a quarterback at some point will hit the transfer portal. I think we would be naive to believe that there's going to be five scholarship quarterbacks on roster when you start camp. I think we'd be really naive to believe that. Who is it? I don't know. When will it happen? I don't know. But I do believe there will not be five scholarship quarterbacks when you enter fall camp. Malachi Wideman has been very, very hot in terms of the conversation this spring because he's been injured. He's been banged up a little bit. He's not been out there at practice. We talked about Malachi Wideman on one of last week's shows in terms of if he's going to be available. Potentially, I think he is buried at the wide receiver position. I mean, we've talked about wide receivers at length on this podcast. I've gone 7 to 8 deep, and Malachi Wideman's name hasn't been mentioned at all. There might be some frustration there. Excuse me. So maybe Malachi Wideman is a name that you can pay attention to. Jarrell Middleton, where was he on Saturday? I mean, really, where was he on Saturday? Josh Heupel was asked about it post-game, and all he had to say was there were some players that weren't with us today. We hope to get them back soon. Kind of vague. Where was Jarrell Middleton on Saturday? I don't know. So those would be the three, well, the two players and then a quarterback. those would be the ones I'd be on the lookout for. That does not mean that those guys will go. That does not mean that others won't. I think there will be some movement specifically on the defensive line and some other places in the transfer portal here in the very near future. That's what I believe. We'll have to pay attention and see if it comes to fruition. But Tristan, very, very good. Good question here for a Twitter Tuesday. And then finally, we're going to wrap up with Scotty Hale. Scotty Hale, he wants to know about the tight ends, the kickers and the punters. Question for Twitter Tuesday. Scotty Hale, how do you think the tight ends performed in the Orange and White game, and who do you think will be the kicker and the punter? Kicker, I think, will be Chase McGrath, transfer from USC, number 42. You probably saw him on the television screen, or if you were in attendance out there at the Orange and White game. Punter, Paxton Brooks. I think Toby Wilson will also be in the conversation about kicking. Of course, he was the walk-on that kicked a little bit last year for Tennessee, some PATs, but I think it'll be Chase McGrath. Tight ends. I thought tight ends performed pretty well. I think tight ends will be a part of this offense. And Princeton Fant. Austin Pope didn't play in the Orange and White game, but Princeton Fant, he was targeted four times, had four receptions, 56 yards. I think Princeton Fant's going to be a guy that can be utilized in this offense. I thought Miles Campbell, he had that one reception down there towards the goal line to where even on replay, I mean, it looked like he caught it and then the ground forced it out and then it looked like a linebacker picked it off and started running the other way. They called him down. Really, I think that should have been an incomplete pass, but nonetheless, Miles Campbell, I've been impressed with him so far during spring. He is an early enrollee, should be a senior in high school right now. He's got good feet to him. He runs crisp routes. He has soft hands. I think the more he reps and the more he gets comfortable, the better he will be. But Austin Pope, it's just a matter of getting back and getting healthy. He is the elder statesman. Of course, we know what he can do blocking. He wants to be more of a receiving target. We'll have to see how that transpires. But I was really impressed with what I saw from Princeton Fant on Saturday. And he kind of emerged there towards the back last three or four games of the season last year, if you remember. So anyway, that is a Twitter Tuesday. Guys, great job. A ton of questions we got into today. Really appreciate it. Continue to send those questions in, those thoughts, those observations. Each and every week, Tuesday is your platform for sure that we will dive into a lot of this stuff. So guys, thank you so much. And thank you again for listening to this podcast, choosing to start your day or tuning in some point throughout your day. Here to Locked On Vols, I get so many questions, I get so many messages, and people say they listen to me on the way to work, they listen to this podcast while getting ready for work. Thank you guys so much. It means more to me than you will ever know. Trust me on that one. So we will do it again tomorrow for Award Wednesday. We will have a VFL join the program on Thursday as we continue on here post-spring practice 2021 as we continue to break down all that we saw here in the last couple weeks in terms of football and a look ahead to the season and more of the offseason. Locked On Vols, at Locked On Vols on Twitter, at @_Caner. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.